Welcome to
Ray and Tay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay Today, talking sports.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile.
Ray,
and they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA, MLB, college football, college basketball.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. It's Friday, and we've got a lot to talk about. So you're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Hey, let's talk some sports. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up. The email is rayandtaytoday@gmail.com, and the website is rayandtaytoday.com. Facebook, like us, Twitter, YouTube us, check out our Ice Bucket Challenge videos. Everybody should donate. It's a great cause. Ray, busy show, and we lost two great Americans back-to-back. The young girl last night at the U.S. Open, CeCe Bellis, and then today, Venus Williams. Let's get into tennis. What do you think? What's going on? And did you like that Williams match? That was pretty tough with Arena, what, Sarah Arena? She's tough.
Yeah, I tell you what.
And she's beautiful. I had to throw that in. Kind of cute.
Come on now.
I got it. Hey, we got to be real, yeah, man.
That's true. We got to.
And we had an upset, too. Number two bounced out, right? Huge upset.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because there's so much action going on in the first couple rounds of the U.S. Open, of any major, that you got to win, what is it, six rounds to get to, to win the final. So it's a great experience, actually, too, going out there to Flushing Meadow and watching these matchups. But you know what, Serena, so back to the Williams sister. So Venus is ousted in the third round. I think, I hate to say it, but her, except for maybe doubles with her sister, but her career is, in terms of winning majors, I think, is over. But, you know, it's always fun to watch, especially Americans at the U.S. Open. So that's fun. And you know what? I always like the U.S. Open because it's the last major of the year. So
yeah,
it's fun. You know, anybody that stands out, I mean, I'm always looking for an upset, but, you know, it's hard to see. Roger Federer is ranked number two, and I know he'd like to get one notch more.
I'd like to see him win, and I actually, that's my pick for the men. I'm going with Federer.
Really?
Everybody, you know, it's always Djokovic, and once Nadal wasn't here, everybody was like, oh, Djokovic. But I'm going with Federer, I like that Jordan was there the other night in the sneakers, and it was all kind of cool. So I'm rooting for Federer, the veteran. I'm going for him.
I like Federer, but I got to think the Joker, man, on that hard surface.
He's so good, right?
Yeah. David Ferrer, maybe. I don't know. But I just see Federer as one of these guys that now, you know, where he used to finish those five setters and win in four sets sometimes, three sets. But now he gets to the final, the semis or the finals, and he just can't cinch it. It's just, it's too bad too, because in real life, what is he, in his mid-30s or early mid-30s, but in tennis years, I mean, he's almost over the hill. You had Agassi winning at 39 or 40, but that's rare. Sampras retired at 34, 35. So
yeah. So basically,
tennis players peak early.
But give me a prediction though. So you're going to go with the Joker. What about the women? I mean, it's kind of open. We mentioned Halep lost today to Lukic Barino. That was a big upset. She was number two. Do you just think it's Serena versus the field? I think Serena is ready to bounce back. She's healthy now. Or do you like Sharapova and her draw?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I always take Serena versus the field.
Yeah. I know. Let's keep it real, right?
But
that good. You got
a
funny
feeling. I mean,
she plays well at the U.S. Open.
She does, and she's fired up. And the good thing about the U.S. Open is everybody gives it their all because they figure it's the last one of the, you know, last one of the year. So you can rest. You know, you can rest till Australia in January.
Yeah, yeah, and it's New York. It's great. It's an international. It's got a great feel. I mean, all the majors are amazing, but I'm biased, right? The U.S. Open is kind of like our major, so.
That's our flush metal.
I'll stick with Serena and Federer, and you're gonna go with the Joker and Serena.
Yeah, I'll go with Djokovic and Serena. I mean, it's not really picking any real upsets.
Well, how about this?
It's hard.
One sleeper. I do like Sarah Arani, who beat Venus today. Yes, I think she's attractive, but she actually, in a weird matchup, right, and she's ranked 13th, it was sort of weird to go 6-0, 6-0, and then a tiebreaker. But she showed to me some promise. Like, she's got a good game. I like the way she played. So maybe, things break right. Maybe a little upset there. We'll see. We'll definitely see. And I think before we get into some of the other stuff, we just got to say Tony Stewart's coming back. So, you know, he made his little speech announcement, and it's hard, right? I mean, the case is still open and emotionally for him. But if he wins, it seems that NASCAR, just sort of switched the rules, and he still is open for the chase. So I guess good for him, right? You know, we'll see how that all works out with just, two races left? Before the chase.
Yeah, I feel for Tony Stewart, man. That whole situation is terrible. And, he essentially took another man's life. Now, it was a dimly lit track and all that, but
at the end of the day, it is what it is.
To do that. Yeah, that's just
scary.
Horrible. Yeah.
So now let's get into before we get to the football, let's get into NBA. There's been some business deals going down and some signings. And this weekend, USA starts and the FIBA World Cup starts. We play Finland, I believe it's Saturday at 3. So that should be fun. Everybody's saying James Harden's the leader. We'll see how this team does. But there were some trades. So the Clippers, they basically got rid of Jared Dudley, brought back two guys, and then cut both of them. So they cut Carlos DeFino and Ruzdolov or whatever. But what do you think about Jared Dudley going over to the Bucks with that sort of young nucleus and him being a defensive veteran with Parker and maybe, Sanders and Mayo? And it's a weird team. I mean,
Yeah, they have my guy, too, that I want to see get some more run. The Greek guy, the G-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Antiakopoulos. So,
Ilyasova, but I also, who I like? They got Kendall Marshall, our boy who played well with the Lakers, and he's a Tar Heel. We got to root for our Tar Heels.
Yeah, so, I like Jared Dudley in the fact that he's a veteran, but I just don't see between the Greek kid and Jabari Parker, I don't see him getting much in the way of minutes. I actually expected more of him with the Clippers. I was surprised that he didn't work more in the rotations, just being
Me
a
too.
Veteran. Some D, he can shoot at least, baseline threes. So I was a little disappointed. Also, shout out to Doc Rivers for signing his deal, $10 million extension. Tweeted out from Ray and Staywell and said, hey, now it's time to win a championship. You got your roster. You got your job security through 2019. You're making $10 million a year. Now go win a championship.
Yeah, basically, I don't know if their bench is I want to see if that he played in summer league, but I want to see if Delonte West officially makes the roster. That might give him a little swagger off the bench since they lost Collison. Leandro Barbosa, to show you that the FIBA Cup does matter, just, he impressed them enough in these scrimmage games, the prelude games when he played against America. Barbosa got a deal with the Warriors, a one-year deal. So I like him off the bench. The Warriors signed him. That should be kind of interesting. And then I'm hearing now, Ray, Zoran Dragic has got multiple teams. This is Goran Dragic's brother, and he's a 6'6 sort of point two guard, kind of scrappy, not as good of a shooter.
I've never seen him. Is he nice?
Yeah,
like
so
his brother?
I did see him play when we played Slovenia and the Canary Islands. He actually plays a little bit more defense, and he's got a handle. He's 6'6". Not as good a shooter, not as great of a ball handler, but he could play a little, backup 1-2 in the NBA. I could see a team signing him. I think it's interesting. Now, look, also, Shannon Brown, who, you know, had a cup of coffee with the Knicks, signed with the Heat, and, you know, played with the Lakers.
Shannon Brown is his ninth team. So he's trying to be like P.J. Brown and a few other cats that, I mean, one more team, and he's played for a third of the NBA. That's crazy. I mean, good for him. A man has got a job, and he's on a roster, and, you know, he may even get some minutes over there in Miami.
Yeah.
But, wow, to be a ninth team, that's crazy.
Yeah, so just a couple of things, news and notes in the NBA. I'm kind of excited, man. You know, it's time for football, but this is going to be a really amazing basketball season. And I think the FIBA World Cup will actually be fun, too. I like international basketball, just like I like Olympic hockey. I think it's a lot of fun to see, you know, different countries and their passion and how well they play together, along with the fact that, you know, some of them actually play in the NBA as well. So, you know, that's it's good. It's definitely good. And for basketball fans, it gives you some quality basketball to watch, you know. So are you ready? Are you ready to talk a little, you know, look, last night all the preseason games ended. As much as people rip the Giants and Eli in the office, show you, you know, how perception is so skewed, right? They went 5-0 in preseason, but they looked kind of not so good. So
yeah, preseason is deceptive. It's all about the first quarter of the first game, the first half of the second game, the first three quarters of the third game, and then the fourth game. Who cares?
Well, and it's so funny, right? Because you say who cares. But then it's kind of ironic. What's up with Doug Marrone? If Sammy Watkins hurt his ribs and didn't play last week, he hurt him against the Steelers, why are you playing him in a preseason game 4 when you could just get him, you know, acclimated back in practice? So now Sammy Watkins re-injures his ribs, and he might miss week 1. I mean, that's just a bad way to start for E.J. Manuel and Sammy Watkins and that whole hookup.
It is, although I will say that with rookies, it's tough because they don't know the speed of the NFL. Even in practice and even in simulated practice and even in scrimmages when you bring in another team, it's not like college and it's not like Clemson and it's not like the ACC because unlike the SEC, which is, what do we say? It's the
ninth
it's
division.
The, AFC, the ninth division, the AFC Southeast. I get that dilemma, though. I hear what you're saying. In retrospect, it was the wrong thing to do. You don't want him to get hurt. But you got to get him reps at NFL speed, at NFL intensity. And you can't do that in practice. So, you know, Doug Marrone is a young coach, and he's a college guy who, you know, basically, you know, at Syracuse came in the NFL. But it's a dilemma. It's a dilemma. If it was a veteran, I would say he's absolutely out of his mind. But since he's a rookie, I get where he's going, right? And
right.
He wants to get him more reps in the game with E.J. Manuel. But these things happen in football, you know?
Definitely. So we got to chime in and give our 2.5 cents or maybe our 5 cents apiece on these suspensions. Obviously, just work our way backwards, I guess. But today, Jerome Simpson got suspended 3 games. Jerome Rome. So that's not a good look. Then today, I think Roger came down. He's getting back to getting a little harsh. I think 9 games and then this late date for Alden Smith for the Niners, 9 games to me, I think they were looking for 6 to 8 the most, and he missed 5 last year, and, you know, he's only doing 9 days community service. 9 games is a lot for Alden Smith to me. I don't know what your thoughts are.
It does seem like a lot, and we talked about this off air, and why now? I mean, you had all the facts 2-3 weeks
for
ago. Let the Niners plan and give the Niners as much of a chance to, you know, build their team based on Alden Smith's availability. Now, the one thing I will say is that he's a multiple-time, quote-unquote, offender, and it's for substance abuse and personal conduct. So, you know, the NFL doesn't like either of those to be a black stain. But then when you put both of them, and that whole incident at LAX, you know, that just brought a lot of negative light to him, the
right.
Niners, and the NFL.
That turned out to be nothing. So that wasn't even in the whole thing. You know?
Yeah, but I got to believe that was in the back of his mind. So I'm just saying that was sort of the icing on the cake. So Yeah, 19 is like a weird number, too. You got a 16-game schedule, so how did you get 9? I could get 2, 4, 8, 16, but 9? A little more than half the season?
You're right, Ray. And then let's talk about, before we get to the big one with Josh Gordon, the NFL and Roger, which he never really does. He sort of admitted, put on his big boy pants, admitted that he was completely wrong. And I'm sure you probably heard from whether it was his wife, sister, or mother about the whole domestic violence. And the NFL changed the rules. And one incident of domestic violence, you're suspended 6 games. A second one, you're out the league. So I applaud them for that in weight of the whole, Ray Rice and 2 games and stuff like that. And then on the other side with marijuana, and this is the thing about Josh Gordon, right? We know how our society is and the laws are changing. Obviously, Ohio, it's not legal. It doesn't matter. Like the NFL laws are and rules are, you cannot smoke marijuana. But what's wild about this that I think that people are not talking about, so his argument was the contact high and this and that. So, he could be guilty of being around the wrong people, and that's on him. But at the same time, I think when people are sort of criticizing him about getting help and not considering that he passed 70 tests before this test, that was one of them, the one vial said it was a little bit above, and their criteria is lower than the military, lower than government jobs, lower than this, right? And then the second one was sort of right at it or below the level. So, I think Josh should have probably gotten maybe 8 to 10 games. I don't think the whole year, but he does need to play by the rules and get himself together in terms of what he is choosing to do depending on the rules. You know what I mean?
Let me ask you this. That's a football related question. So we know Josh Gordon's out for a year. What does this mean for the Bengals offense, and then specifically Hoyer and Manziel? The Browns offense, and it's specifically Hoyer and Manziel.
It means that the general manager, Farmer, the head coach, and the owner are kind of dodos, because to only go ahead and sign Miles Austin and Nate Burleson, not to draft a receiver when you had extra draft picks in the third round or whatever, instead of getting another linebacker or Terrence West, who I think will be a big help, but you already signed Ben Tate. I think it's asinine to not draft a receiver to really help them when your defense is already strong. I think Hoyer will play the first bit of games. I think Manziel looked decent, and he's gotten better. He's got to continue to learn the playbook. But missing Josh Gordon is going to kill them regardless. I think Jordan Cameron now can be taken out with double coverage. And then you're going to hope that veterans, Burleson and Austin, who are both talented, if healthy, but neither one has stayed healthy in the last 2 seasons. So, and then Andre Hawkins. I think Andrew Hawkins from the Bengals is there now, and he's going to be the slot possession receiver. You better hope he's Wes Welker. He's definitely showed some talent, and hope he catches 90 balls. But it's going to be rough. I think they'll struggle to win 6 games.
Yeah, I think this gets Johnny Manziel in faster because, like you said, their best offensive weapon now is Jordan Cameron, and he can be double-teamed, and you can put more in the box to stop Ben Tate. And I think Hoyer, whether he plays well or not, the Browns aren't going to do that well in the first half. They'll be, 3-5 maybe in the first half, 2-6, 3-5, if they're lucky.
Yeah.
That means, to me, Manziel starting sooner than later. Nothing else, than just to keep the fans interested.
So now, just like they changed the domestic violence, there were rumors before this penalty went down that they're going to change, as everyone says, being on the right or wrong side of history, they're going to change the policy about marijuana specifically. What do you think they should do, and what do you think they will do in regards to, just specifically marijuana in the league? Because a lot of players will say, I can't knock them, it's such a rough, violent game, they'd rather smoke marijuana to deal with their pain than be jacked up on Percocet, Vicodin, and all these pain pills that are damaging the liver and other body parts. So and the fact that it's legal in some countries and on ballots coming up to be in I mean, some states and on ballots to be more, I think they've got a real legitimate case. You know,
yeah,
they're going to have to change it.
Especially the dilemma is especially interesting in Washington State and in Colorado. So if you play for the Broncos, legal in your state, and it's not legal in the NFL, so that's that whole, you know, state versus federal thing. You know, I didn't think that the NFL would be progressive on its drug policy, but I think if enough players through the NFLPA, you know, band together, this might be one that the league might have to be more flexible on, especially, you know, you tell me a guy like Josh Gordon was tested 70 times. Wow. I mean, they're in his business. But you know, he's
because he was in
a
program
offender. He was in a program. Sure.
But you know, somebody made this comment the other day, somewhere on ESPN. I don't know who to give the credit to, but it's kind of funny, right? It surely didn't affect, might've been Greeny, Mike Greenberg, surely did not affect his play. In 14 games, he led the league in receiving yardage. So evidently, it surely did not hinder him. And the kid is just so that's what's sad about it, right? He's so talented. I would argue this, that some people have said they should release him or cut him, and I totally disagree. I think you help rehab him, get him better, and you know, take advantage of the fact that, you know, he can be healed and follow the rules and be a productive part of your team. So, but I got to ask you this, because we got some other stuff. We got to mention, number one, the Bengals did re-sign their man, your boy, who we might have to take in our ESPN Defensive Players League, where we take some defensive players, Vontaze Burfict. He signed a new extension to 2017, and it looks like that your boy Dez Bryant should be signing any day. And Tommy Kelly Ray, who's not with the Patriots anymore, he signed on with the Cardinals, and they looks like they're about to sign today James Harrison. So the Cardinals are getting some more defensive help with some veterans. What do you think about that losing Dockett?
No, that's interesting because the Cardinals, again, they're in the wrong neighborhood, right? They won 10 games, and they're always going to be looking up at Seattle and San Francisco. But also, in addition, you didn't talk about the Bengals cutting Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis.
Well, oh, yes, and I was going to get to the cuts. Yeah, the cuts are coming, Ray. They're all going to be Saturday.
Yeah.
See what happens to Michael.
I know. This was even before the, you know, the
law
final
firm.
Cutdown day. That,
hey, somebody should
the
pick
law
him up,
firm.
Don't you think? When he could still help
I
a team.
I do believe.
Where would
what
you think him going?
For,
it means Jeremy Hill needs to be drafted in your fantasy. Gio Bernard moves
him
up.
I was about to say,
first
what does
round
that mean
pick.
For Bernard? Yeah.
And Hill. Hill's going to get a lot of touches because, you know, Bernard is still right in the butt. So even though he'll be the main guy, Jeremy Hill will probably get goal line, and he'll have fantasy value. It always goes back to fantasy, right? But tell me, where would you think the law firm could go? Give me a team.
How about going to Seattle?
Oh, gosh. But don't they like Turbin? Don't they like Christian Michael and Turbin?
I don't love Turbin.
Okay.
I don't love Turbin. But you could
see, I was
going
to say Adrian Peterson could go to Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota. Yeah, because Toby Gerhardt is gone, right? So who is their backup to Peterson? He's pretty durable.
Yeah, it's the kid, remember he Matt Asamoah or something? He did really good the last week of the season or second week of the season.
That's right.
Yeah, he's good.
Miami always use a little bit of help at running back. The Jacksonville Jaguars could use a little bit of help at running back.
Yeah, because all they have is Garrett. That little scat tweener.
Could you see him going back
after
up? Well, they got some
no, they got James
the
White. Yeah. They've got Vereen, Ridley, and James White from SEC, one of the SEC teams. So I think the Patriots are set. How about the Chiefs? I could see them. Jamal Charles, it's frail. You know, you never know. So that's going to be an interesting scenario. Tuesday, we'll come back after the holiday and we will do our NFL preview. We'll give you some more fantasy. Ray and Tay will break down all the records, all the Super Bowl predictions, all the awards. We lay it down on the line. We put it up on our website, Ray and Tay Today, NFL preview, the start of our third, can you believe it, third season. We premiered, what, wow, September 4th, a couple years ago. So this is going to be it's going to be fun. It's going to be big. Not as fun, right? Not as fun, though. And we got to take a little break. But the teaser, not as fun as the new King of the Hill. I'm telling you, there's a new sheriff in town down in Texas, and he's an Aggie. So let's rock to some beats real quick, and we'll come back and talk college football.
Give me a state and I might spread the word. Give me a state and I might spread the word. Give me a state and I might spread the word. Give me a state and I might spread the word. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Ah, yeah.
Yes, we're back.
That sounded like you in the background, but yeah, I thought that was Ray saying, yeah. Yeah.
We're back after the beats to talk some college and
the
show.
I know you're hyped. Well, we got a little baseball, too. We got a little baseball, too. But let's go strong with the college football. What did you think? We both picked South Carolina, Ray. Open up 21-9 on the road. Kevin Sumlin and the new quarterback, Kenny Hill, they put the smackdown on the Gamecocks. I know you were got to be impressed with that.
Yes, they did. And everybody thought that Kevin Sumlin might not have been as good a coach as he was, given that he's had, you know, offensive linemen, a quarterback, and a wide receiver all drafted in the top 10 the last couple years. But I tell you what, man, they put up 680 yards.
Say it slow, baby. Say it slow.
Whoa. In Carolina, it was in Columbia. It was in South Carolina. And then the number nine ranked team. And they had, you know, all off season to prepare. Now, like you said, the new quarterback, so you don't have tape. But, wow. I mean, Texas A&M was impressive. I don't even know, 511 passing yards.
Kenny Hill.
4 for 60.
Three touchdowns. That's grown man stats right there.
Yeah, and on the road in the SEC, I mean, wow. That's okay.
And
I
but
put
guess
him at
what?
The top of the
How about
eye,
their
but...
defense? The defense showed up good. I was impressed.
Yeah, it's hard when you score, right? When you score 52, unless you're playing a Division III school, you're not going to hold them to three. So to hold the team to 28 is not bad, you know.
Yeah,
when you
shut them out in the fourth quarter, yeah.
Stats get a little skewed when it's a shootout like that. But, yeah, I was impressed. Kevin Sumlin, man, that was a way to step out. And, by the way, this kid now has got to be at the – Got to put himself in the Heisman Trophy race, right?
Setting school records. He broke some of Johnny Football's records. They're saying Kenny Football, baby. Well, look, that was fun, right? And then you know what I got to say? There's two teams that played last night, and they're ranked 18 and 19. And I want to tell you that I didn't say it in our preview, and we also did not mention Notre Dame, who I think is going to have a tough season with their schedule. But ASU and Ole Miss, Ray, in the SEC and the Pac-10, respectively, they are going to be teams to watch for on upset alert. Ole Miss, you know, drops 35-13 over a good Boise State team, and that was a tougher game than it seemed, but they broke away in the second half. But ASU, with my boy, Taylor Kelly, ASU, they I think it's September 25th, they're going to host UCLA. That could be their upset alert. They get a big win, 45-14 over Weber State. Those are two teams and their conferences you got to watch out for. So tell me, obviously tomorrow we got two big games in the college football. We got the Clemson-Georgia game and the LSU-Wisconsin game. So we can talk about those and give our predictions. But give me a third game, whether it's Bama, West Virginia, Blake Sims got the starting job or whatever. But give me a third game that you're kind of hyped up to see. Do you want to see UCLA go to UVA early on the road against the ACC team? You know, who, Stanford? Give me a third game you want to see tomorrow.
You know what I want to see? I want to see USC. I want to see if they're for real. They obviously suspended their cornerback. He had that whole incident with the ankles and jumping off the thing and saving his brother and all that stuff.
His nephew,
so
we still don't know what happened.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what happened there. But they're hosting Fresno. They're still at the back end of that suspension that got the hammer dropped on them a few years ago. And then Pete Carroll.
Scholarships. They've got no depth. Less, really no depth, but a lot
exactly.
of talent.
Pete Carroll snuck out of town just in time. Lane Kiffin wasn't the answer. So Steve Sarkisian is in there trying to clean it all up. So I want to see if the USC Trojans are for real. So now they're opening up against Fresno. There's no David Carr there.
And a lot of controversy that he's starting off with, because even the running back, Brown, is saying, he treated me like a slave in office. He's a racist. Now, of course, all the other players come to his defense, but you don't want to start your season with Shaw and Brown and all this controversy before you even start your reign at USC. Kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And, you know, the boosters are going to have a short leash for him because he doesn't have a track record that these other guys. An offensive guy went up to Washington, won some games up there, but Sarkisian's on, he's on the 2-year plan, 3-year plan at most if he doesn't start winning some games. So this is an important game for him to start off and, start this season off right.
Okay. The game that I want to see is Arkansas at Auburn. I want to see if Auburn could kind of put their stamp and say last year was not a fluke. We're no joke. Arkansas is obviously still rebuilding this program. So you want to see if they can on the road in the SEC sort of show that, you know, they're on the swing back. So that's the game that I'd like to see. So let's get into
it. Nick Marshall in the house.
Yo, and I want to see him for that potential Heisman, but let's talk about it. Number 16 and number 12, Clemson at the Georgia Bulldogs, Todd Gurley. Both teams have new quarterbacks. What's your prediction? Who's going to win?
I like Georgia in this game. I think that Todd Gurley is the best player on the field. I think this game being played in Athens is a big deal. If this was playing in Death Valley, maybe I'd have a different prediction. But I just like Georgia. You know, Mark Richt usually has his teams playing well. The problem at Georgia usually is kind of mid-season they go into a lull, but they start off the season strong, and they have every reason to think that they could be formidable in the SEC. So, again, with Gurley running the ball, hopefully he's, he's healthy. He's good.
Yeah.
And, Murray's gone. Todd Boyd is gone. All the star power quarterback from last year is gone. But Sammy Watkins, of course, too. But I like this Georgia team. I like the Georgia team to hold turf at home, win a game, something like 27-17.
I agree with you on everything, so I'm not going to go too deep into it, but I think they'll win 30-24. I just think Gurley is going to make his stamp. I do like Clemson as a team, though, probably be maybe second, third best in the ACC, but I think Georgia is trying to get in that playoff. This is their year where they feel like we can make a big statement, even though, a new quarterback and everything, but I just think Georgia's talent on the defense, offensive line, everything, they've got talent, even at receiver. Georgia 30-23, I'll go with. So that now the big game, LSU Wisconsin, Ray. This is what it's all about. You got two studs at running back, Wisconsin Melvin Gordon, and LSU the big star. What's his name, Cornett or whatever, the rookie from New Orleans coming in, the freshman. This is what it's all about. Number 14 and number 13. But they're playing in, in Houston, right? Not in Jerry's World, but they're playing in Houston, Texas.
Houston,
so this is Big Ten. Big Ten against the SEC. Give me your pick.
So you know what what's crazy is that both of these teams have a problem at quarterback, have a dilemma, who's going to play, right? So they've got this huge, big question mark. So you got Jennings or Harris for LSU. You got McAvoy or Stay for Wisconsin. You had the LSU kid suspended. So this game is tough, man. If this – because it's on a neutral field, I mean, it's not that neutral. Houston's closer to LSU. I have a sneaky, sneaky suspicion that Wisconsin is going to win this game.
I know.
I just do. You've got, you know, but think about this, though. If McAvoy ends up starting, former safety, starting at quarterback.
Wow.
That's crazy. Les Miles, you know Les Miles. If there's anything you know, is Les Miles, just bring it on defense. And his D is always going to come strong. So
no matter what, it's going to be a dogfight the way LSU plays.
Yeah, so even if they do win, I think it'll be a tight, low-scoring game because LSU always is locked in these defensive battles. So I think they might win something like, I don't know, call it 20-17.
You going with LSU? Oh, Wisconsin.
No, Wisconsin.
Okay. Okay. You know what? I'm going with potential Heisman guy. I think he, on a great LSU defense, he cracks 111, two touchdowns. I got Wisconsin winning 24-21 in a brutal dogfight of a game. So I'm excited, man. I think this is going to be fun. It's going to be a great college football season. We'll obviously jump into it a lot more as the games, you know, and everything jumps in. As we get ready to wrap up, man, we got to talk about baseball. The wild cards are, you know, pretty clear. And, you know, with the National League right now, it's, you know, the Giants and the – but the Braves are fighting strong, right? It's the Giants and Cardinals. In the AL, it is the A's and the Mariners a little bit over Detroit. The Yankees and Indians and Tigers are all right there fighting with the Mariners. That's going to be fascinating to me. This weekend, Ray, four-game series, and then they play another three-game in a couple of weeks. The best record in baseball, the Angels, 80-53. What do you think is going to happen with the Angels and the A's this weekend? Big series for Oakland.
Yeah, I told you I thought the Angels were going to take it and run away. And I think they'll win two out of three and then get, you know, move another game ahead. They're two games ahead now to win the loss column. So I think they'll start to pull away. I just like the Angels, and it's funny because 2 years ago Artie Moreno started spending the money, and then finally, and Trout had his two seasons where he would have won MVP in any other era, but he's probably going to win the MVP this season, and they're just, I just look at them, and now Garrett Richards going down is a big deal though, so I don't know if they win the World Series.
That hurts them in the playoffs. It does.
Yeah, for sure hurts them in the playoffs. But I think up until then, I think they're going to start pulling away from Oakland, and they're going to win this. They're going to win this AL West.
How big is this?
What do you
series
think about Kansas City though? Can Kansas
say,
City almost Detroit?
This series this weekend, Royals and Indians is a big series. If Cleveland could even two out of three or sweep, they can get themselves sort of back in this wild card race and you know sniff the division. I think Kansas City, Ray, I think they are on such a roll. And Ned Yost, I don't think he said anything wrong about the fans. He's not ripping them. He's like, hey, come out. 13,000 is not enough. The next night, 17,000. Come out and just see what we're doing. I know it's been since 85, but we need your support so that way we can get back. And I don't think anything's wrong with that. It's a great ticket in town. If I was in KC, I'd go see the Royals play. They're exciting
as
heck.
You go to Coffee Stadium, you'd represent. You'd set up a tent and go there.
Yo, I'd love to just be like, yo, Ray, this weekend, let's meet in Kansas City. Let's go, yo. The Royals, I love their new uniforms. They're exciting. Oh, man, I hope that they put it on, you know, and I like the Indians, too. You can't help root for them, but I want them to push away, and I think this weekend the Royals will pull away from Detroit and from Cleveland, and I think the Royals will lock up that division sooner than later. And I think a big series for us as Yankee fans this weekend, the Yankees need to pull away from Toronto, hope Baltimore loses, and the Yankees need to just go ahead and sweep the Blue Jays, knock them out, and really get themselves in this race for that wild card. And you got to watch the Mariners. I mean, who knew, Ray, that without Cano having a great Cano season, the Mariners would still be winning like this. That's amazing.
That is amazing. I didn't see that coming. So I thought they'd be just okay, but good for them. I mean, right now they're right in the mix with that second wild card. I mean, look at, they have 60 losses, tied with Detroit, and three fewer losses than the Yankees. So right now, Seattle's looking pretty.
They are. They're playing good ball too. So
ultimately, it's their pitching, right? It's their pitching is just unbelievable. I think they have the best pitching in the American League.
No, it's a strong staff. It's a strong staff, and when you got King Felix to head up your staff. Now, look, I got to give you credit, and we'll talk about the National League now before we end up the show. You said, and you did not give up on the Braves, and Bryce Harper's back and healthy and starting to play better, and Upton is back. You know, they're 70-64. They're sort of right behind the Cardinals and Giants. Can they do enough, though, to catch up to the Cardinals and Giants is the question.
The good thing is with the unbalanced schedule, and they've got the Mets, the Marlins, who are playing fairly well, and Giancarlo Stanton stays healthy, going to be the NL MVP.
Yeah.
But they play the Mets. I mean, they have to play Washington,
Philly, of course, but they also play
Miami, the Mets, Philly. And the Phillies. So they probably have an easier schedule than everybody else. Having said that, I just think that the two teams ahead of them – so they're tied with Pittsburgh. And
the Giants have an easy schedule, too. They play Arizona, Colorado, and San Diego.
Exactly. And the two teams ahead of them are the Giants and St. Louis. And Yadier Molina's coming off the DL. That's unbelievable. Oh, by the way, you got to shout out your boy Pettit. Your boy, not Andy Pettit, but Yusmeiro Pettit, who has retired 46 consecutive batters for the Giants. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Well, and also shouting out people, we got to shout out all the new Cuban players that have come in and, are just banging the major leagues up. I mean, some great talent. We talked about the Red Sox signing Castillo, but then two other guys, in the last month have, come in and got busy. I forgot which teams they're on, but was it Solar and who's the other kid? It just came up.
Solar in the Cubs and the Astros? Yeah, I mean, these kids are just
– they're amazing.
It's too bad that we have to see them this way where they need to, sneak out and go through so much to come here. I mean, you'd wish it was just an open system where people from the U.S. could play in Cuba and people in Cuba could play in the U.S. And this way we'd see all these guys like Abreu and Yoenis Cespedes and Yasiel Puig and all of these guys that are – and Aroldis Chapman. You know, we want to see the best of the best playing – in the major league or anywhere. Oh,
definitely.
Be restricted to only playing in Cuba.
Two things I got to ask you about, though. What, at least definitely one thing here. What do you think about the Yankees acquiring Outman from the Indians? Can that help us?
Yeah. Look, I just think the Yankees are going to fall a little short. So it'll be ironic that the two seasons – the one season that they closed down Yankee Stadium and the last season of Derek Jeter's career, those are going to be the two seasons out of 20 that he doesn't make the playoffs.
You're right about that.
And of course, he didn't make it when they canceled baseball, in 94. But I guess he came up in 95, so that wouldn't have been him. But, two seasons that he doesn't make it. But I just think the Yankees are just a hair short. They say Tanaka now still has pain in his elbow. Pineda pitched well, though, so that's a promising sign. I just don't know that the Yankees have enough juice. And they have too many teams, right? They got to jump over Seattle and Detroit because you figure the loser of L.A. and Oakland is going to take one of the spots. So three in the loss column with, 40 games to go? And it's two teams. I don't think the Yankees are going to do it.
And, well, listen, it's going to be a great sports weekend. Happy Labor Day to everybody. Watch USA and cheer for USA basketball. Look for the cuts in the NFL. Everybody's got their fantasy drafts coming up. Hope Michael Sam's the team. And, hey, Ray and Tay today, man. Talking sports with friends.
Yeah, have a great sports weekend. Have a great Labor Day.
Meet a mommy, Benakaki.
Oh,
come over here and dance with me.
Come on,
I see your body looks so heavenly.
Yeah.
Baby girl, you're delicious to me.
Follow
puff of all, part of me. I'm the type that's right and my game is tight. And I see, baby girl, you're looking alright. So what you got a man, we ain't here tonight. You're